Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It counts!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourassa.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, coming at you live to tape from beautiful Glen Burnie, Maryland, this late October evening. And we're here once again to talk about another week full of Caps hockey in this 2018-2019 season. And hope you, wherever you are, especially if you're in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the state of Maryland, and or the District of Columbia, you're listening and enjoying the show. And with me, to help me out, as always, the beautiful, wonderful, memeing mermaid mentalist, teaching prodigy from Fairfax County Public Schools, live from Centerville, Virginia, the beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox.
Beautiful, wonderful, twice. Nice. Don't forget to throw in sick, but that's okay.
Well, we're both kind of, okay. So before we before we get started here, apologies to those of you slogging through this episode. Yes, you might, pardon me, you might notice that both my erstwhile co-host and I are not sounding at our optimum best. Anna, as it turns out, has been battling a cold and a fever for the last few days, and I have shaken my cold for the most part, but I have a little lung thing going on that just don't want to seem to go away. So apologies from the both of us for that. Our voices may not be as dulcet of tone as you might be used to.
Yours may not, but I'm kind of thinking mine sounds pretty awesome. Come on. I told Trucker Eric Hayes, because I know he'll be listening, that this was going to be the week I was going to bust out with my best Kim Carnes impression. Please tell me you know who Kim Carnes is. 80s.
I'm a
Betty
child.
Betty Davis Eyes.
I'm a child of the 80s. That was one of my favorite songs. So, yes, took me right back into my teenage years there.
I always loved that. And I was like, yeah, I want to have that. And then I'm like, but I probably have to smoke and it's not going to happen. But better yet, why not get a cold from all my students and just have it take over? So now I've gone from my Kim Carnes thing to Phoebe from Friends. Remember that episode where she gets a cold and everyone thinks that she sounds awesome when she's singing and whatever. So she goes and she collects dirty tissues and it's just very funny. But you have to be able to appreciate Friends to understand where I'm coming from, because I don't want to talk about what I said I sounded like before that we started taping, recording, whatever. Unless you want to talk about it.
No, not well. Yes and no, but okay. Yeah, no. You really brought me, as I said, you really brought me back to my tweenage years and got me right in the feels with the Kim Carnes reference. And I had to say, yeah, I can hear it. You definitely got some of that going on this evening.
Right.
So it's gonna be very interesting, as we said.
But now I'm wondering if you're having some tween. Like, are you going to be able to get through this episode?
That's what I was about to say.
Are you blushing?
I don't know how well I'm going to be able to get through this episode. Also, let's face it. There are going to be a myriad of distractions here because I've got you in my ear, and I have my wife's cooking in my nose. Yeah, a lot of distractions going on, but we're gonna get through this episode as best as we can. And shout out to Mr. Eric Hayes, of course. Thank you very much for your continued support of the show. And yes, I do hope you enjoy Anna's altered voice this week.
Yeah.
And,
it's all good.
Yeah, and so because of that, as I said last week, I tried to throw out, this is something of a meme. I don't know if Anna accepted it or not, but this is a Washington Capitals fans podcast, and we this is a continuing story of two fans who get together and share drinks and talk about true stories that happened on NHL rinks. Mm-hmm. Because of our sicknesses, we have to dial it back. Anna, you told me what you're drinking.
I'm not dialing it back.
You are a bit.
I do have hot tea, and I received like the coolest messages last night on Twitter from everyone who's like, you got to put brandy and honey and lemon. And someone who was like, if I was in Maryland, I'd drop it off. How awesome is that person? Drop the gloves. Oh, I think that's the handle. But anyways, I don't drink brandy, but now I'm hearing from people it's the cure-all. So I'm kind of going the opposite. I still have my vodka tonic, but I have my hot tea, so I don't sound like Peter Brady. Stick with Kim Carnes. I don't want to sound like Peter Brady.
So is it just hot tea, or do you have something in the hot tea?
I have honey in the hot tea.
Okay, so you've got basically what you've got is a virgin toddy is what you've got.
Pretty much, and, yeah. I don't have any of the other stuff.
Okay, well that's fine. And we need to give a shout out to that person who said if they were in Maryland they would drop you off. That was very nice of that person.
Yeah, I want to say drop the gloves. You know, been asked how I was doing and was like, hey, you're awesome. So thank you, drop the gloves, for the concern. Carol Porter was like, got to get that brandy, Anna, because I couldn't do sports on the hill yesterday. I busted out 102 fever, was like in a whole other world. I had one of those naps after school where like when I came home and was like, gross, I don't know how many people sneezed on me today, but I'm about to puke.
Yuck.
And I'm like, you're in the fifth grade. Come on now. Came home, showered. I was like, I'm just going to lay down for a little bit. And then, you know, when you wake up and the room is dark, you're like, what the hell? What day is it? So I was able to watch the set of the game last night with the puck dropping so late because I took this nap. Couldn't even tell you how long I was out, in an hour or two, but it felt like forever. So we can talk about that, but
I believe it. No, I believe
it. It's a little
rough. No, I just wanted to say that instead of my usual shandy or beer or maybe even a nip of either a wine or
one of your girly drinks.
And then not girly. Hey, speaking of brandy, I think I still pretty much have my Palmasan. I didn't even think of that, making a hot toddy with that, but no, I figured I'd dial it back, way back, and just go with a nice ice water to keep the pipes nice and lubricated, and so we can keep going at least for this show,
all right.
Which admittedly won't.
Hope you're not going to be driving later or anything. Don't go too crazy, gal.
Very funny.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
More
hockey. Somebody's in a hurry. My goodness.
I'm not, but I'm afraid like Kim Carnes' awesome is going to turn into Peter Brady, and then everyone would be like, "I'm turning this off."
Whatever you say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yes, let's let us get into the hockey. It was another 3-game week for our Washington Capitals. When we had last left you, please app work. Thank you. Okay, so they were in the midst of a 3-day layoff. They had just finished the Toronto game this past Saturday. Okay, so their next game was day after our last show, Wednesday, which was a 4-3 victory over the New York Rangers.
Try again.
4-3 victory over the New York Rangers. That's how they say
no.
it. Yes.
Well, they don't.
Yes.
Oh, because in the next two games. No, I thought we lost.
No, we won that game. That's the joke. That's the joke this year. W for Washington, W for Wednesday, W for win.
Okay.
Because all three.
Man, this head cold has just got me so screwed up.
Yeah, it has.
Because I thought we were going into the Rangers like, oh, there's no way we're going to win this game, and we lost.
No, the Rangers suck more than a nursery full of babies looking for binkies right now. Oh, my gosh. They're terrible.
Okay, so, yeah.
In fact.
We're just going to talk this up to the fever because I'm
fine.
Like.
No, that's fine. You are. You're way under the weather, so that's fine.
Yes, sorry. Continue.
Well, okay. So yeah, in fact, this game was a heck of a lot closer than it had to be or should have been, and in fact, required overtime. Requiring overtime. Yeah, I require overtime to get a proper salary, but I digress. Mika Zibanejad opened the scoring, 6:09 in the first with a wrist shot, assisted by Chris Kreider and Nicholas Pionk, who was all over the frickin' ice. Good Lord, he was, my God.
He looked good, I have to admit.
Three
and for the opposing team.
Three assists that night. So,
yeah.
Good Lord. And then 8 minutes later, a slapper from the point from Mr. $8 million man, John Carlson, assisted ably by Nicholas Backstrom, ties it at one. Next period, 3.5 minutes in, on the power play from his usual spot, the captain puts him up 2-1, assisted by Carlson and Brent Connolly. Then Jimmy Vesey ties it up 9 minutes later. Rangers also on a power play at that point. Assisted by Pionk and Brian Howden, I think his name is. And then the captain puts him up again. Another power play goal assisted by Carlson and Backstrom. Ovechkin, Carlson, and Backstrom. That sounds like the funkiest law firm ever. 3-2, 17:01 into the second. Slapper again from his office. And then they were cruising to victory, or so it seemed, until Chris Kreider pots his fourth halfway through with a tip in, also on the power play. Stop me if you've heard that before. Stop me if you've heard this before also. Zibanejad with a point, and Nicholas Pionk again, another assist, his third, as I said. So, as I said that before, that required overtime, and so 218 of all people, Matt Niskanen with his first gets the game winner.
That's right. It's coming back to me now.
From Kuznetsov and Oshie with a wrister from the high slot, and that put it away. So the vitals, 38-32 shots on goal, slight edge for the good guys in the faceoff dot, 53-47%. Power play, 2-for-4 for the Caps, 2-for-4 for the Rangers, an even 8 minutes in penalties each. Caps out-hit the Rangers 23-14. Rangers out-blocking, that's shots, 17-10. Possession game, fairly even, 6-7 on the giveaways, 12-14 on the takes. So, surprisingly competitive game from the Rangers, who, as I warned in the last show, they don't have the skill, but they got a lot of young legs, and they, as it turned out, they kept up. Mr. Pionk, as I said, is his first name, ended up, for his efforts, earning third star of the game. And so, yeah, I would say 1-2 years this team's going to be one to watch. It was kind of funny, though. I'm looking over the penalties, and there was one in the second period against TJ Oshie, and it looks, if I recall right, Oshie kind of flew past Jesper Fast, and I don't know, I'm thinking, that ref, calling that penalty. It was for interference. That ref calling that penalty. Putting a guy named Fast in the box for being too slow. I don't know. But one more note. This is something you and I discussed, and yes, I'm trying to involve you in the conversation because I'm being a jerk. But
you're really not. It's totally fine. Because look at, I thought they lost the game. I think I'm thinking of the, obviously like the week before for some reason. Last week, total blur. So once again, thank you, head cold. But yes, anyways, go on. There's one thing that we discussed. What was that?
Was involving more of the younger guys, more of the faster guys in the lineup.
Yes.
One such guy was Mr. Nathan Walker. And
yep.
And he got some time this game. Don't know that he stood out all that much. Didn't get a point. He did get a penalty, unfortunately. And very unfortunately, it was a penalty that led to that game-tying power play goal. And he was chastised very much for it, unfortunately. But also praised, and basically Coach Reardon said, look, yes, it was a bad penalty to take, but I don't want him to dial it down. So I kind of like that. Kind of like the confidence from the coaching staff.
I do too, because you can't chastise Walker when he hasn't played. You know, we had high expectations for him, kind of pulled the rug out to be like, just kidding. You know, trade, not trade, all these conversations going back and forth. But yet he's not the only one that had a penalty. Got vets that have penalties too. And, you know, flashing, interference, you know, tripping. I mean, so hats off to Reardon for not saying that the entire game was closed because of the one Walker penalty.
Yeah, and he
it's not fair.
So he ends up with 6:47 of time on ice, but yeah, unfortunately, best he was remembered for was that penalty.
Of course.
But fortunately, it did not cost them the game. It did cost them a regulation win point, which counts more. It wasn't an egregious penalty, I would say. Look at me throwing out all the big words today. But
seriously,
it was. Could he have made a better play? Yes, but better he do something than just stand there like a pylon. So, like the coach said, you know, you don't want him to dial it back as far as the aggression. You want him to be involved. So it'll come. Everything will come in time. So like I said, fortunately, this was not something that cost them, and they got the win. So moving on to the next game, which was against Florida, also at home.
Yes.
Oh, boy. This one was the tough one to watch. Florida opens the scoring. Vincent Trocheck, assisted by Huberto and Petrovic, halfway through the first. Caps bounce back. Carlson, his fourth.
He's on fire this season. Can we just go back to that?
I would say he's earning his money. And
I mean, and because I think it was not so much this time last year, but pretty close, that you doubted whether or not he was worth it, worth the hype, whatever else.
No. I did not say he doubted. I doubted that he was worth the money. I said if he's going to get that money, I said I want to see a little bit more in terms of shooting, and he's doing that and proving that his shot is among the more lethal from defensemen. So I would say if he does everything he did last year and he gets 20 goals, if he's not on the final ballot for the Norris Trophy, then somebody needs to be investigated somewhere.
I agree. But I just think, okay, then I misspoke on your end, because I felt like I was defending him a lot last year. He looks amazing. I mean, truly impressive. And what keeps going through my head is he's so sorry. He's kind of, I hate to use this word, but it's the only thing that comes to mind, kind of grounded in the sense that his body language on ice is very similar to what we saw with Ovechkin coming into last season, in the sense that he was calm, like kind of, you know, not impulsive, not all over the place, not making stupid errors, but taking the time to really do what was needed at that moment. And I feel like this is his year where he's come in. Maybe it's, you know, Ovechkin last year got married, and I kind of felt like that was a big thing for him to step into last season. Like he was ready to, you know, to really feel like, okay, this is it. This is our year. And I think with Carlson, I don't think he's going to stop. I think he's, and I love it. I absolutely love to see John Carlson play. And it just makes me think, like, once we can get Tommy back, how all of this is going to pan out. Because I know people are still, you know, are asking, you know, when he comes back. I mean, obviously they're not going to drop his 20-game suspension. I'm pretty sure that's been a given. But he's still, you know, he's going to come out and be such a force with everybody that I'm excited to see what happens. But I'm super impressed with 74.
Absolutely, and I agree, and I might have been a bit down on his defensive play in the past, but he definitely proved himself in a contract year as he's supposed to, and he's also proving that now that he's got the money, he's not going to sit back, he's going to kick it up a notch even higher, even now that he has the
right
money. So, yes, I am very proud of that. And again, the thing I said last year that I wanted to see now that he got in the contract was more shooting from him, and he's proving that, and he's doing that, and I just think that's absolutely great.
It's like a bullet. Yeah, me too. So I'm glad on the same page. I feel like we have other players to talk about, but let's get through this Panthers game and blah.
Yeah. yeah. Fun game to talk about. So, yeah, if you were all watching, and I'm sure you were, my condolences. I know I was watching, and I was in need of some sort of medicinal support at the time. Because my turn to explode. Not long after the Carlson goal was when the wheels started to fall off. So literally 32 seconds later, Florida's on a power play, and Evgeny Mom and Dadanov gets his third of the year on the power play. Oh my good Lord. 38 seconds after that, Colton Sevier gets his first of the year on a wrister. And then 2 minutes after that, approximately, another one from McCann, assisted by Malgin and Yandel. I hate that guy Malgin. I always think Evgeny Malkin has a brother.
I know. It's the name.
Whenever Joe B says his name, I want to jump out of my chair. Wait a minute. What do you mean Malkin has a brother? And then I have to look. Oh, it's Malgin.
Right, but it sounds too close. So worthy of a throw punch either way.
Yeah.
guilty by association on that one.
Tis true. Okay. So, but I imagine they got a talking to from Coach Reardon and staff because. In the second period, we saw a whole other team. So, to wit, 148 in, Brett Connolly, with his first of the year, from Christian Juice, and who?
Yes.
Your little boy, you're not
My
Edmund, your little boy, but
Jacob
your
Frana.
young boy, your young man,
Yes.
first point of the year,
Yes.
and then
He looks so good. I was so excited.
that he did, and continuing to looking so good, he got his second. Oh, I said he that was his first point of the year. I misspoke. He got his second goal of the year, so obviously that wasn't his first point. His first assist of the year on the Connolly goal. His second goal,
Yeah.
6 minutes later, 6.5 minutes later, a wrister assisted by Eller and Connolly. So that third line was humming. That whole
Well,
second period.
that's just it. I feel like last week, and even a little bit the week before, I was, I'm not throwing number 10 under the bus, but I kind of felt like, yeah, what the hell, Conley? Like, I need to see more from you. I feel like he is probably one of the most intense players, when he's on the bench. And I mean, I know that there's all the memes where he's like ignoring the, fist pump and whatever from the players. I totally get that. But like when he's being interviewed, he doesn't interview well. He always looks pissed. But I feel like he's so intense, and he's, one of those guys that like, it's like, hey, I got a game, in 5 hours, don't talk to me. I need to be in the right head space and, that kind of thing. And I wasn't seeing it. And maybe I was like, what the hell, number 10? Like, you're giving you this opportunity, step the fuck up. But I did see it this time, and I'm glad because there is all this potential with him. We saw it last year. But it's like, I again feel like we're coming back to that. I need to see the consistency. I still don't feel like we have solid lines. I feel like we're still kind of, fucking around here and there on who's going to work. And I know a lot of that has to do with Wilson being out, but there's got to be a little bit more. And so that's my one issue, the lack of consistency, and then the lack of playing 60 minutes.
Well, there's a certain someone who is seems to be personifying a lack of consistency, and we'll talk about
65.
what you and okay, yeah, we'll talk later.
Okay.
Continuing on with the summary. Speaking of secondary scoring, Devontae Smith-Pelly with his first of the year.
Yes.
Assisted by Niskanen and Kuznetsov. That brings them all the way back to four even with
Oh.
6 3/4 left to go in the second. And then Jonathan Who? Berdow, puts them up just before with about a minute to go in the second, 5-4 on the power play. And all seemed lost again until about a minute and a half. Caps get a power play, and Nicklas Backstrom puts in his second. Lars Eller and Evgeny Kuznetsov with his eighth assist of the year,
Amazing.
and that evens it up. So they go through the three-on-three scrimmage and for 5 minutes, and they do the Macarena and skate laps around each other. I don't know what they did, and then and it didn't end in anybody winning, so they go to the ever popular skills competition. And for those of you that have listened long enough, you know my opinion about this thing. Yeah, if I want to be entertained like this, I'll go to the damn circus. Oh, wait, I can't do that anymore. They killed the circus.
Good, rightfully so.
Yeah, but anyway, this is what they end up doing because the commissioner thinks it's exciting. Well, I don't. But it's the skills competition, and so they roll out their best, we roll out our best, and yeah.
But it's not, I mean, it's not, I don't know. I mean,
I'm sorry, I don't like it. I will never like it. It's not
Right,
real
but
hockey.
what would you real? But it is though, because it exactly you bring out your top guys that are have played 60 plus, minute, not the whole 60 minutes, obviously, but they're tired and they've got to they want to end it. They're on an adrenaline rush, and that's where you're going to see some sick shooting. And it's like, I, you know, you've asked me this before. Do I care for it? It's not my favorite, but when it comes down to it, that's where you're kind of like, all right, I want to see the difference between, you know, what, you know, college hockey and NHL. Like, I like it, but it's like, you almost make it sound like it's the only sport that does it. God, they do it in soccer. You know, you go extra innings in baseball. You go
You go extra innings in baseball. They keep on playing. Yes, I understand it's not realistic for them to keep on playing and keep on playing and keep on playing. I get that, but still, it's not, to me, it's not real hockey deciding the game. And
But it's not real hockey deciding the game, but you know what the 60 minutes prior to that should have been.
Yes, it should have been. And I'm sorry. I didn't quite make out any of your other points because I was subsequently distracted by Mr. Producer Jeffrey doing some parlor tricks and then dancing the Macarena in front of me in an effort to get my attention that we're starting to run out on time.
Okay.
In any case, it went to the shootout, first of the year. I'm not even going to bother with this thing. Oshie scored. Kuznetsov scored. Captain missed. Blah, blah, blah. Jonathan who? Berdow. Ends it with the goal, and they skate off with the loser point and don't live unhappily on ever after. Screw it. I'm sorry. I don't like ending the game that way. I would rather have an old-fashioned, crappy Father's Day tie. All right? That's me. I'm sorry, you out there, if you think I'm old-fashioned, all the sweethearts, you can...
Stop.
Sorry. But, I'm sorry. I don't like it. It's not the way to end a game. But they get the loser point.
The end of the world.
They jump on the West Coast land puddle jumper, and we're off to the next game in Vancouver.
Yes.
And understand that I don't know what to call her. Since she went out there, but we had Rochelle Wilcox, your buddy Rochelle Wilcox, on. She's going to be one of our little correspondents. Apparently, like to have her on next week. Apparently, she went all the way out there and saw the game. Had pretty good seats, so can't wait to hear from her. Okay, going to fly through this real quick. It was a 5-2 win for the good guys. Guess who opened the scoring again? Mr. John Carlson, his fifth of the year. So we're 2.5 weeks into the season. He's already got 5 goals.
Yeah, again, him and, well, I'll let you get through because... Number 8, just bravo.
Yes. The whole top line just took over. All the top players just took over this game and ran with it as they should. Canucks tie it up, and then Kuznetsov puts them up 2-1 with his fifth. Carlson and Ovechkin on the assists, and we're in the second period. Captain with his seventh. Oshie and Backstrom on those assists. That was a deflection, not the usual way he scores. And then Canucks get their second goal to pull within one, and then the Caps run away with it. The captain gets his eighth, assisted by Carlson and Backstrom on the power play, and then Oshie with the empty netter to ice it, his fifth of the year. Ovechkin on one of those assists. Vancouver also not highly regarded, unfortunately, this year. They're in a way in a bit of a downturn, at least ever since those Swedish twins retired.
But speaking of that, can we just talk about that amazing, touching video of Jay Beagle getting his ring?
I was going to say, you're going to ask about losing a Swedish pair?
No,
I'm not into that.
No. It'd be fun though. I'd be like, hell yeah.
No.
Little tag team.
No. Not going there. This is a family show.
It's so not a family show, but
well,
okay.
Yeah, well, neither one of us, neither one of us are, well, never mind.
No, so I'll make it family friendly. Jay Beagle receiving the ring was just heartwarming to watch, but I will say his speech to the players got a little tear. Got to admit, I got a little something in my eye watching it because he got choked up. You could tell he just spoke from the heart. You know, that's those guys are his family, and he misses everybody. And you know, it just makes you want to bring 83 back. But I know, you know. But I will say there wasn't a cast on his arm.
Yeah,
which, thank God, because you said last week it was broken,
well,
and I thought oh,
that
crap.
that was the official report, and that you know, yeah. besides the heartfelt words, yeah, I amongst that I did notice also that yeah, there was nothing on his arm, so the initial report was that he broke it, but I guess it's not as bad.
Maybe it's a fracture, but maybe... I mean he didn't have anything on it, so. But, you know, he's just I just love seeing him get that in front of the players and getting it from Ovechkin. And it was very heartfelt. So it was good to see that. So, yay, Beaks.
Yeah, that was good to see. And if there was any there was anything in the way of Caps news, that was one of the two, I would say, small-scale stories that occurred this past week. The other, of course, you kind of alluded to, was the Tom Wilson, I can't read my notes here, banana peel? Appeal of his suspension. Seriously, though, yeah, that's been filed, the hearing taken place, Bettman looking down from his high chair. Yeah, it's been filed. We'll supposedly we'll know the results sometime later on this week.
Which is, I mean, I would love to know what the hell went on in the meeting for 7 hours. I mean, come on.
I don't know.
Like, what the yeah, so done with that. So I just chalked it up to it's not going to work in Tommy's favor, and he's going to keep training. And the guys are posting on Instagram today. They're throwing axes. As like, you know, kind of a group activity together, and Tom's there with them. So that I love. I love that he is having a chance to travel with the team and not, you know, not home. I know he's from Toronto, but so I don't know if he's going to all the games, but I know that he happened to be with them today, which I think was sweet. So.
Well, it's not like he's not allowed to practice and/or.
No, he does practice, but I don't think he travels with them all the time. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, he's still allowed to be with the team and partake in certain functions.
What kind of functions?
Well,
okay.
Practices, morning skates, team meetings, et cetera, et cetera, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not even going to go. Not to disrespect the Canucks, but obviously it was a bit of a runaway game, and as I said, the first line top players pretty much took over, and it's, you know, not going to bother going over the details, but it was a game that turned out the way it was supposed to. You know, top team versus a bottom tier team.
Right.
You know. It turned out the way it did. So good for them. So so they end up for the week, at least our week anyway, winning two games, one in overtime, and losing one outside of regulation. So no regulation losses. Pretty good week, all things considered. Now, real quick, a couple things I wanted to cover, and we talked about it a second ago. I don't know if we have time for a full-fledged debate, you and I. I think we might be on the same page on this for once, but we mentioned him. Well, you mentioned him before. You who must have learned how to read husband's mind from Mrs. Yep. Blueliner, before I could even say the damn name. Andrei Burakovsky's play as Late has been under a microscope, and no surprise, he has been very underwhelming so far this year. And the thought has come once again saying, well, why don't we bench him for one or two games? This seems to do him some good. So what do you think at this point?
Honestly, I think what we saw yesterday, he had a powerhouse hit. That was the first time we've seen him do that. I was impressed. It was clean. It was good. It's what we needed to see. He, unfortunately, is Burakovsky, Bowie. I'm just going to stop at those two. Are the kind of players and the kind of athletes that when things are bad, they're bad and they hit rock bottom and it's hard to get out of it. But once they do something good, then you get a couple of good games out of it and then we go back down. They're like that truly inconsistent, frustrating players to watch. Is the skill there? Absolutely. Is the experience there? Maybe not for Bowie, but for 65? Yeah. Does he need to step the fuck up? Yeah. Don't know if benching him after yesterday's game, if he had not played well last night, I would have said absolutely keep him out of the next two Canada games and just be like, nope. I liked what I saw last night, and I think he does better if he can keep the momentum going. So I wouldn't bench him the next two, but if he doesn't step up, yep, it's time for him to have a little humble pie on the bench.
So to you, it's not so much that he's not productive. It's that, I don't know, is it the effort that's not there? You said something about Connolly.
I feel like Connolly was holding back. Like he wasn't, I don't know, like, should they put you on the top line? Like, you should be giving it 100%. I feel like Connolly was kind of giving it about 70, 80%, not giving it his all. So I wasn't really impressed. I feel like Andre is trying to give it his all the time, but he just always seems to be a step or two behind. That makes sense. Like, he knows what he's supposed to do, but he's just not quite there to make it happen. But again, if he's got some consistent games where he looks good and he's not like he, you know, now that I think about it, when I say he's inconsistent, he is an athlete that it is all in his head. You know, we saw Holpe fall apart this week. It happens, and it's an ugly place to go as an athlete where you just are like, what the hell's going on? Like, I'm healthy, I'm in shape, I love my team, all is well. But what the hell is wrong with me? It's like a very dark moment to be in. And you have to find a way to get out of that mental space for him to be on this game. So I don't think it's a lack of effort at all. I think people want to throw him under the bus and think that, you know, he needs to be traded. I just think that, and we just have to ride those kinks out for a little bit. And he'll prove to us why he is Washington Capital.
Yeah, I for the most part I agree, but I would think he's been with the team a good 2-3 years now. I think we need to see, and this has been said about other players, most notably Tom Wilson. But I think what we need to see out of him is some maturity. Hey, you know what? I didn't get what I wanted to get on that shift. I will get him on the next shift. I will make a better play on the next shift, instead of, you know, like you said, being all in his own head, and wondering what could have been. I think that's
but that's the difference. So Tom Wilson he's one that is like an impulse player. You know, like look at what he does, and it's, you know, he knows the fighting and the hits are wrong. He knows it's going to get him in trouble. But yet he gets so fired up in the moment, and then he gets a splash, and it's like, ah, oh, shit. We saw a better Tom Wilson last year where, yes, there was that maturity. Yes, he has the potential. Is he ready to be a leader? I said from the beginning, no way. No way. He still has some things to work on. He is his own worst enemy with the impulse. Andre Burakovsky has that, you know, wanting, like he's trying too hard. And it's like, you just got to sit back, buddy, and be like, you're obviously on this team for a reason. Relax, go out there and enjoy the game. Like the Carlsons, the Backstroms, the Wilson, you know, go out there and enjoy. Because right now I feel like he's just trying too hard to be like everybody else. And it's all just in his head. So.
No, it does. It does. And I look, you're the one with coaching experience, so I'm going to trust your judgment. But like I said, I think the time has come for 65 to display a little bit more maturity than he has. I think he needs to just bear down and just play his game. He doesn't have to be the one to get the goal all the time. That should not be his focus. I think just go out, keep his game simple, go to the net, take the shot when he can. Don't try to make the fancy play. Make the simple play, and just be him. But I think we're starting to approach that point where, if you know, we go down this road again, time may start to run out for him. Mr. Producer Jeffrey is signaling me we're starting to run out of time here. So we meant to get through. I think we got a little bit of time. Let's go and get through the farm report here, and that would be the Hershey Bears. This is, before we get into this, some crediting here. The information we are about to impart, since our team of focus is generally the Washington Capitals, we do know that the Hershey Bears do exist. They are the AHL farm team, AHL affiliate of the Washington Capitals, and have been. But some have said they don't get their due, and so we on our humble little podcast will try to rectify that as much as we can.
Did you just say rectify?
That's what I said. That's what I said. You both had to confirm it. Again, I'm not even drinking. Nobody else is drinking, but this is what I do to the women in my life. Hallelujah.
Yeah, you rectify them.
Yeah. Cheers, Jenny.
Yeah. Jeffrey had to jump in there, too. This information that we are about to impart is courtesy of one of our listeners, Don McLaren. Shout out to him now. Hope you're listening. Hope you're well wherever you are. He gave us some notes on some recent games. Now, the Bears stand, unfortunately, in eighth and last place in the eight-team Atlantic Division within the American Hockey League. But Don was kind enough to provide us some notes.
Sorry.
What?
Okay. Sorry. I thought our window was
no.
It was a gorgeous day, and I was trying to like air out the germs, and I was like, it's getting a little cold. I'm just gonna go ahead and close this as you're talking. And of course, it's like the squeakiest window ever.
So what you heard was the casket on Milton Hershey's grave closing, as I was about to say. They're 2-5, 2-5-1 on the year. So.
Right. it's a good Halloween sound effect, right? Anywho, yeah, let's get into Don's summary. We said we couldn't do all of it, but his highlights,
yeah,
we're actually
over
great.
On time. So we're gonna have to get through this fairly quickly. We're gonna start with the game on Friday the 19th versus the Charlotte Checkers. It was a 4-3 shootout loss. His notes say the good was that all three Bears goals came on the power play. Pino Gersich and Lucas Johansson, the latter two with their first of the year, and I see out of the corner of my eye Mrs. Blue Liner doing a fist pump. That was because Nathan Gersich is an alumnus of the University of North Dakota.
Nathan or Shane?
Shane.
Did I say Nathan?
I meant Shane. Sorry. Okay, and Lucas Johansson will also with his first of the year. His other notes say that the Bears appear to be creating more turnovers than they were giving up. And you might have remember that when we went to the game, they weren't creating any possession at all, so that's a very good sign. But he also says that they were careless because they gave up 8 power plays in the game. Vitek Vanacek had another good game, 30 saves, but didn't look good in the shootout, unfortunately. Riley Barber was back in the lineup, other than that, nothing of note from him. Let's see here. So, the bad, yes, gave up a power play goal, took too many penalties. Bears have... they don't play well in OT/shootouts, he goes on to say. They would like to improve upon that. And Ilya Samsonov is actually on the injured list right now, so they brought up that goalie Milner from the Stingrays, the South Carolina Stingrays from the ECHL. There are the notes from that. And then they played a back-to-back, so they had a game against Charlotte the next night. Vanacek appeared to have bounced back because he got the shutouts, a 2-0 win. O'Brien and Whitney on the goals. And he says, really tight reffing, tons of penalties. Tough to get into a flow because of that. But if you think about it, if they can overcome that, then that's good. That's good that they can
right.
overcome that. And good to see Liam O'Brien
Agreed.
To get on the score sheet, especially kind of pulling on him. That was his team leading fourth of the year. So he's a standout as he always is. And that's also notable because that Charlotte was the last undefeated team before that game. So. They actually gave them their first loss. So, Don, apologies. We're cutting it really bad on time. I thought we'd have more time, more material to squeeze in, more time for everything else. But I hope that's the first of several reports we get from you. So, going to try to make this something of a regular thing here at the Power Play Point podcast. Is like I said, a lot of the Caps that you know and love today, they started out as Hershey Bears, and so they are the future if you think about it. Okay, so I think that we'll wrap it up. I can't think of anything else we need to get through. Did you have any final thoughts?
No.
Okay. So you doing okay over there? Did you survive?
I survived.
Okay.
I survived. Hey.
Will you survive the night?
Yeah. Let's hope. No, it'll be fine. That's all that matters.
I'm trying to get you to say I will survive, but then.
I just said I'm gonna survive. You didn't get it.
See, this is how far off sync we are. Yeah.
Yeah, but you got the Kim Carnes thing, so. I will give that to you. There's not a lot of people that know that reference, which is why when Chuck Eric, like, I knew he would get it. And I was like, I'm channeling my inner Kim Carnes, who I loved growing up, even though I think that was just like a one-hit wonder. Don't care. I just thought she was such a badass, and I loved her vocals. So Kim Carnes, that's it. But anyways, no, I've got nothing to say, except I'm not going to sign this next week. And hope you guys enjoy your dinner.
Hopefully so. Okay, so yeah, and she's pure as New York snow. Just want to throw that out there as well. So, on behalf of the ailing Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off for another edition of the Power Play Point podcast. And reminding you that if you go to a disco and they have seafood at the buffet, don't go crazy dancing because you might just end up pulling a muscle. How screwed up is this episode? I got a laugh out of her for once.
Dad, I was just going to say you chalked that up to the sickness because that was, it was a giggle. It wasn't a laugh.
I'll take it.
And after a year of dealing with those, I'll give you, you're like 1 in 98. It's
It's
getting
like
me
a
to laugh
loser
about
point.
that.
I'll take it.
It is. It's okay. It's a courtesy point. All right, cool. Signing off. I will talk to you
Say goodnight,
soon.
Gracie.
Okay,
Hallelujah,
see
and let's go,
you.
Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, BlueLiner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.